Subcommittee of the Joint Ways and Means to order. And open a public hearing.
No, work session.
Work session.
This is next week's agenda.
Oh, where am I at? This is my stuff. Here it is. There we go. And open a work session on Senate Bill 5536, Parks and Recreation Department.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. You have in front of you a packet of information that is my memo and worksheets relating to the Senate Bill 5536. And I'm just going to follow through here and talk about the changes to the budget, policy option packages, and then get into the details. The first chart on your page is just a historical review of the agency's budget with the LFO recommended budget totals for comparison purposes. The first action for the subcommittee is on the technical adjustments that reduce the budget $1,830,519 total funds for inflation adjustment. That's a total of $893,078. Employee compensation freeze is $803,181. The totals are on the second page. The Attorney General rate is $10,809, and the DAS assessment reduction is $123,451. So, I'm saving the vacancy savings for later discussion. So those are the technical adjustments. Do you want to? Are there any questions about this?
Let's just ask any questions, comments at this point.
Do you want to have someone? You want to move approval of these at this time, like one by one, or do you want to do it in block?
I think we can do it in block as long until we get down to the packages.
Is there any objections to the technical adjustments?
Well, we asked for comments and there was none. So let's just do it right now. The chair would entertain a motion to approve the technical adjustments.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
You've heard the motion. Any discussion? Any objections? Motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Regarding vacancy savings, at the bottom of page two is a chart that summarizes the vacancies for the Parks Department. There are 421 vacancies. 366 of those were identified as in the first category of critical to health, welfare, and public safety. And of that, 314 plus are seasonal positions. And I say plus because 40 of those that are being recruited for now or are now filled, some of those are seasonal positions. Four positions, there was a recruitment problem, and so they've been backfilled with temporary. Those are also seasonal positions. They could not get employees to fill them because of the remote locations in the state. Developmental assignments, backfilled with a retiree or a temporary position. There are three, and seven of the positions are commissioner positions. They show up on the vacancy list, but they're not. There's really no dollars attached to them because it's just for per diem purposes. In there, of those positions, the agency has taken a look at their seasonal positions as we requested them to determine whether or not there were any that we could consolidate months on, and eliminate positions, and they found two positions that they could reduce if they could add a couple months to other positions. And so I'm recommending approval of that, even though it results in an $843, I think it's $843 increase. And there are six necessary to maintain essential program oversight. One of those is a developmental assignment, backfilled with a retiree or a temp. and 5 are in a recruitment process or now filled. 48 are attached to policy option packages, which we'll talk about as we go through each of the packages. And then one position is being held vacant to fund a reclassification, which I'm recommending that we go ahead and take that action today. The position is in the Heritage Conservation Program area. A position description has been developed and reviewed by the agency's human resources person. I've seen the analysis. It's also been reviewed by DAS IRMD, and I concur with the outcome. So there is a reclassification, and it does result in a $36,000 increase, a net increase to salaries.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Morgan.
Then if the reclass is granted, does this position go away?
Yes.
And then the difference between what the reclass will take up and this 99.8 would be out of there too?
No. The difference, one position is replacing another position, so they're not adding another position. They're taking the vacant position, and they are creating the classification where they need, where they have the need for the work to be done, but it's at a higher rate of pay. So the difference in the two salaries is $36,000. So kind of it nets out plus salary difference of that amount.
I'm not getting what you're saying.
One position costs, the new position, the reclassified position. Well, you're taking the vacant position, reclassifying it upward to another level.
Okay.
So that position costs $135,000 per biennium. The position that is already funded at $99,000, that salary is going to go into helping, it's already in their base budget to pay for it. Right. So they need $36,000 more in limitation to pay the difference between the two positions.
So where's the money that was in the position that's being reclassed?
That's the $99,000.
Okay, so then what I'm not understanding, you've got a vacant position that has $99,800. Okay, then there's some other position that
no,
you're reclassifying?
There is no other position. We're reclassifying the vacant position.
Why are we reclassifying a vacant position?
Because they need someone with the higher classification skills and abilities to do the work in another area of the department. You could do it differently. You could eliminate, another way of doing it is just eliminate the vacant position, then create a new position in the Heritage Conservation Area.
Oh, so this creates a new position.
Correct.
It doesn't actually reclassify an existing position, and it actually creates, it takes a vacant position and reclassifies it so it can be filled.
Correct.
Okay, I'm getting it.
Sorry about that. Must be that HR talk.
Is there any other discussion? I want to make sure the committee is clear and comfortable with this before we move on. Senator Dukes?
$135,000, is that inclusive of benefits and retirement stuff?
Yes.
And there's an option package on this. Some places there, so we get to decide whether we actually
no, this
want to
is,
do that?
No, this is the time you get to decide whether you
oh.
want to do that. There's no option package. This was this came after
after the presentation?
No, it's the last day of the public hearings, technical adjustments that the agency wanted to make included the reclassification of this position. So it wasn't in the governor's balanced budget, but it is on the table. I am recommending approval.
Mr. Chair,
could you please tell us, Mr. Chair,
yeah, that's
what the old one is and what the new one is?
I need Mr. Carrier.
Just out of curiosity.
For the record, Mike Carrier, Director of Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. Mr. Chair, thank you for the opportunity to explain this one to you again. And for the benefit of Representative Morgan and Senator Dukes, I don't recall if you were present at the point at which I I requested the chair's indulgence to reopen the record on my testimony and to ask for this to be presented as in lieu of a program option package that was not included in our budget. And I did so because we had submitted it to Legislative Fiscal Office as a technical adjustment, assuming that the reclassification could be handled in that fashion. And on Susie's advice, thought that it would be better to actually present it to you as part of our record of testimony and as part of our biennial budget request. And what it amounted to was the position that exists now was created in 2001 at our request to supplement the staff that issue Ocean Shores protection permits. And that was because we had come off the heels of a couple of really severe El Nino winters, had a high volume of permit activity, anticipated that activity would continue, so we requested a position to support our permit program. Well, that was followed by a couple of La Nina years in which the permit activity just dropped almost to zero, and as a result, we didn't have a need, nor did we fill the position. But it was still available to us. In the meantime, sometime after we had submitted our budget request to the governor and the governor had forwarded it to you, we began to experience some heavy workload in our Heritage Conservation Division, the SHPO office, under James Hamrick's supervision. And that included some of the review and compliance and National Register nomination work that's done. And it was draining more and more of James' time, and we consulted with a management consultant who evaluated our staffing and made a recommendation to us that we really need a mid-level manager supporting James in that program. So in a desire to get that problem addressed instead of waiting 2.5 years, we had requested through a technical adjustment to Susie that we take the vacant position from the Ocean Shores Permit Program, reclassify it upward, and fund it. And then that's when we kind of concluded that we needed to make you more fully aware of it and present it as if it were part of the budget request. Be happy to answer any questions you have about it.
Senator Dukes.
There's a little bill floating around in the legislature that would, depending upon who you talk to about it, at the very least, allow some more work on the coastal. What would that do to the utilities?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes.
Assuming that that person we're now moving over would be doing that.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, we did a fiscal analysis and a staff impact analysis on House Bill 3228 that you're referring to, and concluded that the fiscal impact would be negligible and the staff work would not increase significantly as a result of that, because the bill changes the definition of development that existed before 1977, which is the date before which upon which it's determined that properties can be protected with things like riprap. And it includes public infrastructure and private utility systems and private roads in that pre-77 development, whereas heretofore it had only been homes and developed private properties. We think that the number of permits that might result as a result of that bill would be very, very small and not represent a significant increase in workload or cost.
Thank you.
Senator Morgan?
Would there be any point in having this be a limited duration position, or are you expecting that this will be a long-term need?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, it's our expectation and hope that this will become a permanent part of the staffing structure of the Heritage Conservation Division.
Any other questions? If I stay right there, we might have more for you later on.
Okay, at this point, we need a motion to approve eliminating two seasonal positions and adding 3 months to two other seasonal positions for a net increase of $843, and to approve the transfer and reclassification of a vacant position from a Program Tech 1 position in operations to a Principal Exec Manager D position in the Heritage Conservation Program for a net increase of $36,075.
Mr. Chair, so moved.
Thank you. Representative Morgan, you heard the motion. Moved by Representative Morgan. Any discussion of the motion? Any objection to the motion? Motion carries.
Okay, now I will move into discussion on the policy option packages. The first package is in the administration program to provide funding for the second phase of the financial management system project. The funding comes from Measure 66 lottery funds and had been proposed in the governor's balanced budget from certificates of participation proceeds. Most of the package will purchase professional services to develop interfaces for users, database for improved management reporting, and for the purchase of a point-of-sale system for collecting and accounting for park user fees, which I think is the most important part of that package. I'm recommending approval with modification. The agency is receiving more. Their lottery seats in the current biennium are $1.5 million higher than they projected, and they've asked to convert the package from COPs to using their lottery monies, and it will save them the $214,560 in financing costs. And so I'm recommending approval of $1,850,490 lottery funds.
Representative Morgan.
So the other funds here are the COP plus the repayment?
The other funds are just the COP. The repayment is in another package,
okay,
which is being withdrawn.
Mr. Chair, I think this is a good use of the extra lottery.
Do we want to do these individually?
I would move the adoption of Policy Package 101.
Okay, you've heard the motion. Any discussion of the motion? Any objection to the motion? Motion carries.
Package 107 adds two information specialists and $102,535 of one-time equipment and software purchases for a geographic information system. One position was proposed to be limited duration until the second year of the biennium. I'm recommending approval with modification. I'm recommending that we approve one limited duration position for 21 months to establish the system and train current staff and to hire temporary employees for initial data entry, and then existing staff can maintain the system. And that is at $267,914 of lottery money.
Mr. Chair.
Chair would entertain a motion.
I move the LFO recommendation on Policy Package 107.
You've heard the motion. Any discussion of the motion? Any objection to the motion? Motion carries.
Package number 108 adds increased expenditure limitation for rent and move expenses to the new North Mall building, moving costs, voice and network cabling and systems furniture purchases. That's $498,417, and I recommend approval.
Are we ready for motion, or are we going to be reprimanded by the boss here?
No, he's got a budget note.
Oh.
Thank you.
I get a little nervous when the door opens and slides in.
This is the committee.
Yeah, this is his old committee.
I move the LFO recommendation on Policy Package 108.
Any further motion? Any discussion of the motion? Any objection? Motion carries. It just goes to show that he watches on TV, though.
Yes, he does. Package 111 converts temporary positions to seasonal positions for workload fluctuations at Reservations Northwest and to address turnover issues. Shifts other funds, services, and supplies of $303,557 to personal services and adds 7.59 FTE, and I recommend approval. This is in conformance with state law and policy directive of human resources or the Employment Relations Board. I'm not sure which one.
Chair would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move that LFO recommendation on Policy Package 111 be adopted.
You've heard the motion. Any discussion? Any objection? Motion carries.
Policy Package, this is LFO Policy Package 6. This is a technical adjustment requested by the agency to transfer two volunteer coordinator positions from administration to operations, actually. Operations. And then there's a corresponding package in that program area. So it shifts the funding and the positions from this program area to another, and I recommend approval.
Where's the other side of this?
It is. It's in operations. It's on page 6 at the bottom. That's the other side of it.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the LFO recommendation on policy package 006.
You've heard the motion. Any discussion of the motion? Any objection? Motion carried.
The package 104 is in the Heritage Conservation Program. This is to continue three limited duration positions that were approved in 0103. The positions are used to help with the National Register workload and to maintain the databases. The funding is federal sources. The agency expects Congress to approve funding for the 03-05 period, and limited duration just recognizes that these are federal funds that aren't intended to be permanent, but and will go away someday. So I am recommending approval.
Okay. Chair, would you have any more?
If they don't have the money in hand yet, is there any point in unscheduling this until they get it?
If they don't have the money in hand, then they can't spend the money, and they wouldn't be able to continue the positions. They would have to eliminate them.
So would they have to come to eBoard to have that happen?
No.
Or?
No. And DAS would normally unschedule it at that point anyway, when they learn that they don't get the money. They won't know that until October, so is that fair?
Mr. Chair, Susie, yes, and it's my understanding, and staff can correct me if I'm wrong, that we're using the federal fiscal year that began before the state fiscal year. In other words, for fiscal year 03, we're actually using the federal 03 apportionment, which is appropriated October 1 of 02. So we know before we begin using these funds what the amount is going to be of the federal allocation.
So you know you're getting it.
We know we're getting it, yes.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair and Representative Morgan, these are positions I brought when you chaired the committee 2 years ago that we'd asked for to be established in anticipation of a big increase in the federal apportionment for historic preservation. And during our Ways and Means hearings, we realized that the federal apportionment was not as great as we expected, and in fact it's been highly variable since, and that's the reason that we're suggesting that they continue to be limited duration. We don't expect the funds to go away completely, but we don't anticipate the level of funding that we had thought we were going to get 2 years ago, or the long-term certainty of that level of funding.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I move the LFO recommendation on policy package 104 be approved.
You heard the motion. Any discussion of the motion? Any objection to the motion? Motion carries.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, package 105 increases the construction grant program in the Heritage Commission to $250,000, which allows the department to target threatened resources such as classic revival houses. Current grants are limited to $20,000 per property with an average award of about $9,000. This is an increase of $132,000. The total amount of the grant program only addresses about a quarter of the number of requests that they receive. It will come from lottery funds, and I recommend approval.
Mr. Chair, I move the approval of the LFO recommendation for policy package 105.
You've heard the motion. Discussion of the motion? Objection to the motion? Motion carried.
Package 106 adds funding for a cemetery preservation grants program, regional workshops, a traveling exhibit on historic cemeteries, and the purchase of registered historic cemetery signs for $84,500, and I recommend approval.
Mr. Chair?
Just out of curiosity, where do you take a traveling exhibit on historic cemeteries?
Mr. Chair,
I'm dying to see this conversation.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes,
we're in this area.
The exhibit would accompany staff on local training seminars that staff would provide to folks that are either custodians or volunteers who have identified and worked to protect these pioneers. We're currently calling them pioneer cemeteries when we refer to historic because it includes tribal cemeteries. But part of this package would be to provide some training workshops, and there would be a traveling exhibit that would go along with those workshops to show how other cemeteries have been designed, interpreted, and restored. It would also be provided at, say, the annual Heritage Conference, sponsored by the Heritage Commission, or other events like the Oregon Cemetery Association when they have their annual meeting. This is designed to draw attention to the plight of these pioneer cemeteries, many of which are almost orphan properties, but nonetheless need protection.
Mr. Chair, I love pioneer cemeteries. I really do, and have wandered through a few of my time. Just, you know, but all I can say is it's a good thing you've got a dedicated stream of money.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, this is a small amount of money, but this will generate more benefits and goodwill than spending $2 million on some other cause, because
We can put it into that will do real well.
This money will go a long ways. A lot of good will get done with a small amount of money here.
And I'm sure the volunteers will appreciate it.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Morgan.
I move that we approve LFO's recommendation for policy package 106.
Thank you. Push the button. You heard the motion. Any discussion? Any objection? Motion carries.
Package 114 adds funding for grants to local governments for not-for-profit organizations commemorating the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial. That is $300,000 lottery funds, and I recommend approval.
I think you got a conflict on this.
I was just about to declare it. That's why my hands.
Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, for the purpose of the record, I'd like to declare a conflict of interest, potential conflict of interest, given that I am the chair of the board of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial Organization in Oregon.
They start paying you?
No, but I just want it on the record.
So this stands to save you a little bit of time.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Unlike many of our sister states, Oregon has not made much of an investment in the Lewis and Clark activities, and I applaud this and hope the committee views it favorably.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Morgan,
I move the approval of LFO recommendation for policy package 114.
You heard the motion. Discussion of the motion. Objection. Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, at this time I'm going to introduce the budget note that the co-chairs have approved that goes along with this package. The budget note is in front of you. It reads, the department is directed to make all funds allocated to its budget for the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial available to the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial of Oregon, LCBO, as efficiently and as promptly as possible. The LCBO shall provide an annual report to the department of the use of said funds and shall create and make available to the department all appropriate financial records as requested by the department. Department shall report to the Oregon Heritage Commission all amounts transferred to LCBO. The department shall provide the commission with copies of any agreement between the department and LCBO as to the use of said funds and the results of any department reviews of the LCBO's records. This is a budget note that was requested by Representative Johnson and the director to assist in managing this grant program for Lewis and Clark Bicentennial.
Mr. Chair, I think we should torture Representative Johnson.
Well, I was thinking about that. I think the explanation is they're broke.
Is the vote?
Is you're broke.
That's a very succinct, no ambiguity. I'd be happy to provide whatever level of detail the committee would like.
Huge levels.
Huge levels.
Mr. Chair, I move the adoption of the budget note.
Yeah, discussion.
Quiet prayer.
We need a motion quick.
I just made one.
Okay, you
I
heard the motion.
The adoption of the budget.
You heard the motion. Any discussion? Objection? Motion carried.
Thank you.
And then moving to package 007. Yes. Adds a limited duration program technician 2 position to handle increased workload relating to the review and issuance of archaeological permits. A shift of services and supplies will finance the position. So there's no increase in their base funding, and I recommend approval.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Morgan.
I move that we approve the LFO's recommendation for policy package 007. This is not secret agent policy.
Yes. You've heard the motion. Any discussion? Any objection? Motion carried.
Thank you. Package 110 was to restore historic funding to community colleges for Oregon Youth Conservation Corps programs, and included a technical adjustment to require payment as a special payment. This package is not needed. It was withdrawn by the agency. They have the money in their base budget. What they do need is the technical adjustment, which we will make in the operations program, I think.
Do we need to take action to withdraw?
Well, yes. Just be clear.
Did we have a motion to withdraw this request?
Mr. Chair, I move that we concur with the LFO recommendation to withdraw policy package 110.
Heard the motion. Discussion? Objection? Motion carries.
And package 113 increases expenditure limitation to purchase property for ATV, that's all-terrain vehicle, recreation for public to ride their vehicles without causing environmental problems in sensitive areas. Funding comes from ATV registrations and fuel taxes paid by ATV users. That's an increase of $1 million. Other funds, and I recommend approval.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Morgan.
I should just have this written down. I move that we approve the recommendation of LFO as relates to policy package 113.
Thank you. You've heard the motion. Let me ask the department, do you have applications in hand for this kind of expenditures, or do you anticipate them?
Mr. Chair, we do not have applications in hand for this particular expenditure. The reason we're requesting this and requesting it in the fashion that it is because we annually make, I think, three awards for either new development, acquisition, or law enforcement and safety and education to these programs. And what we've found is increasingly there are opportunities, too, in recent years. Coos County had an opportunity to buy land for $800,000 that they were going to use for an ATV park. And more recently, Morrow County had an unexpected opportunity to purchase 6,200 acres of land that they're dedicating to an ATV park. So rather than cut into the existing grant programs that we've allotted for those three purposes I described, development, maintenance, and law enforcement and safety education, we'd like to kind of hold this as an additional amount of money in case an unexpected opportunity arose and we received an application for such.
Let me just, for the record, you probably told us this during your presentation, public hearings. What other uses do you expend those funds with?
Mr. Chair, as I said, we have three grant awards each year, about once every 4 months the committee meets, and in one grant round they award development acquisition, minor acquisition and development grants for all-terrain vehicle riding areas. In another round they award funds for operation and maintenance of those areas or trails on existing public lands. And in the third round they award grants for safety, education, and law enforcement activities associated with this program.
Any other discussion? Any objection? Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Moving to the next page, package 102 establishes an ongoing equipment replacement program for heavy equipment such as tractors, mowers, and backhoes. It provides for a replacement cycle of 7.5 years. New equipment will be leased or purchased in accordance with DAS policies and procedures. The current equipment inventory would turn over completely in the next 3 biennia, and the agency would use the surplus sale proceeds to realize revenue on the old equipment, which would help offset the cost of the new equipment. And that's $426,000 lottery funds, $324,000 other funds, and I recommend approval.
Representative Morgan?
What's the source of the other funds?
That's the sales proceeds from the...
Mr. Chair, I would move that we approve LFO's recommendation for policy package 102.
Can you approve the motion? Discussion of the motion? Objection to the motion? Motion carries.
Package 103 provides for
funding for phase one of three phases to develop improvements for Washington County State Park. This phase includes sewer, water, electrical, road, and trailhead facilities. An additional $1 million is expected from the Federal Land and Water Conservation Funds. So they would have $2 million invested in the project during the biennium. This is only for an increase of $1 million lottery funds, and I recommend approval.
Mr. Chair, would you indulge me? I'm very curious about what the Federal Land and Water Conservation Funds, what's the nature of that program?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, that is a program that was established in 1964 or 1965 by Congress and has been in existence since then and continuously appropriated both to the federal agencies and to the states, except for about 5 years in the 90s where there were no state appropriations made, but they have now been restored. The funds are derived from offshore oil leasing royalties that the federal government receives. And as I said, they represent the major congressional appropriation to federal agencies for federal land acquisition and some capital improvements. And there's a state side to the appropriation in which the funds are distributed by formula to each of the states. And that that formula is a complex formula in which the state's population, its overall size, and the amount of federal land in the state are all computed to determine what the state's allocation is. For Oregon, the allocation in recent years has averaged from 1.3 to over 2.2 million a year. And the president's current recommendation for federal fiscal year 04 would increase significantly and put Oregon's annual allocation to well over 2 million. And under our administrative rules, 60% of the funds that we receive from federal government for this purpose, we award in grants to local units of government, city and county park and recreation departments. 40% we make available for state projects.
And so this is granted to any, the 14% that's available for grants, is that the correct number?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, it's 60% is available to local entities for grants, 40% available for state projects. In both cases, we're required to establish an open, what we call an open projects selection process in which we advertise the availability of money, solicit applications, and on the state state project side, we would accept applications from other state agencies for projects, and then we have a committee score the projects and make a selection.
And are there sideboards on it, or is it just having to do, is it property acquisition and improvement, or?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, yes, it is available for both the open space and development of recreation facilities, open space acquisition and facility development. It is the longest standing federal source of, I can only imagine. It is the longest standing source of federal support for the states, and it has, at the local level, it's made, we've made over $235 million worth of investment in Oregon since the life of this program, and much of it at the local level that includes ball fields, you know, playing fields, municipal swimming pools. So it isn't just park-like settings. It's developed recreation facilities for many of these small communities that would otherwise not have had an opportunity to develop those kinds of facilities. I think it's one of those programs that I would refrain from using the word legacy, but as compared to some of these other programs that I know that you're struggling with these days, this is a program that really has a legacy of investment for local units of government as well as state projects.
Well, you guys are raising checks in
there. Brave man.
This is the true legacy program.
Lady Morgan, how much more fun do you want to have?
Mr. Chair, if you're ready for a motion.
Yeah.
I would move approval of LFO's recommendation for policy package 103.
You've heard the motion. Discussion is in the review.
I promise people and banks I would ask these questions. They tell me that they don't believe that there is yet an agreement for where the water would come from to respond to a fire that park once it's developed, and they don't think that the interchange between 26 and 47, the problems that are there now and would be magnified by the park, would have yet been worked out. Is that, are those two things accurate?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, in talking to my staff about this, we are negotiating an agreement with the fire department for fire service. Now, the issue of is there adequate water to deal with fire protection, that hasn't come to my attention. I didn't know that that was an issue. But with regard to...
It's not adequate water. It's, you say that you're negotiating. The mayor doesn't seem to realize that. And so I sort of figured maybe he would in a little town that small.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, let me ensure that the mayor knows that we are working on an agreement with the fire department for fire protection, in which we will reimburse that service.
I'm not sure they absolutely want to give you the water, quite honestly.
And with regard to the highway access, we have a study completed that's approved by DOT that concludes that the improvements that we plan there for the entrance are adequate relative to the expected traffic counts. And I would be very happy to call or correspond with the mayor and
provide
him the information that he needs.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, Mike, it had nothing to do with you or where you
played part. We need to keep moving. We need to keep focused here. We're going to lose Lieutenant Krieger.
With the note you just read, people have idle time.
That's right. We need to move faster.
It's because we have excess capacity in our brains.
That's right.
Either that or we're getting rummy.
We have a motion, I believe.
We do have a motion. Any more discussion? Any objection? Motion carries. At this time, I'd like to allow Representative Johnson to introduce her guest.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'd like to introduce Corrine Kirby, who's been down here with me today as a page and helping in my office, and her dad, David. She's a middle schooler in St. Helens and has been seeing all aspects of the legislature at work, even our good-humored committee work.
Welcome.
And I have a daughter that lives in St. Helens, Molly Cook. I don't know if you know her or not, but welcome. And this is a very exciting committee, as you can see.
Oh, yeah.
More so than I would have thought.
We do our best.
That's that. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Package 109 initiates program for interpretive services identified in the Parks Department's interpretive strategic plan adopted in 2000 by the Parks Commission. It phases in 9 positions in 6 parks. The agency's request was for $635,377. I'm recommending approval of a reduced level of expenditure limitation of $535,000 and no positions. The positions aren't critical to the health, safety, or welfare of parks or the citizens of Oregon, and rely on lottery funds. The agency has identified an alternative plan that would utilize contracts and existing staff to provide interpretive services. I recommend approval of my plan.
Is the report?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Morgan.
I move approval of LFO's recommendation for policy package 109.
Is the motion? Discussion of the motion? Objection. Motion carries.
Package 116 increases limitation for inflated utility cost increases beyond the general inflation rate of 3.5%. And I might point out that when we adopted the technical adjustments on inflation, I did not remove inflation from the utility cost increases for this reason. Electric costs have increased 54%, natural gas, 22%, garbage increased 9%, and water and sewer increased 12%. So they're asking for an additional $611,690 lottery funds, and I recommend approval.
We've heard the report. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the LFO recommendation for policy package 116.
You've heard the motion. Discussion of the motion. Objection. Motion carries.
Package 112 converts field staff in parks to seasonal positions to handle fluctuations in workload. This is similar to the prior package in the administration program. conforming to the human resource policy. It affects 21 positions for $572,185, and I recommend approval.
Further report?
Mr. Chair, I move approval of the LFO recommendation for policy package 112.
Heard the motion. Discussion of the motion. Objection. Motion carries.
Package 006 is the technical adjustment. This is the flip side of the other one to transfer the two positions, the volunteer coordinator positions, from administration to operations. That's $393,834 that will increase the operations program limitation. I recommend approval.
Mr. Chair, I move approval of the LFO recommendation for policy package 006.
You've heard the motion. Any discussion? Any objection? Motion carries.
Package 008 is a technical adjustment to redirect $883,446 in their other fund services and supplies budget to personal services to fund six positions that will be transferring from facility investment to operations. There's no increase in the base expenditure limitation, and I recommend it's just the transferring of the positions and moving of money between categories. So I recommend approval.
Anyone care to make a motion?
Mr. Chair.
Girls, will quit writing notes when we get more work done.
Allow me, please.
To quit writing notes, we'd start asking questions. What's your choice?
I move approval of the LFO recommendation for policy package 008.
Okay, you've heard the motion. Discussion? Objection? Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Facility Investment Program, Package 070, is a package that reduced the Measure 66 lottery funds expenditure limitation for facility investment by $0.7 million in order to keep the program at exactly $15 million, which was the original amount agreed to by the legislature when Measure 66 lottery monies were approved for parks expenditures. This prevents the program from absorbing more of the department's lottery funds over time, allowing other parts of the budget to increase without a need for revenue enhancement policies in the near future. Normally, I wouldn't bring in an 070 package because it's a revenue package, but because this is a policy issue, I think the committee should vote their agreement or disagreement with this reduction of $681,036 in their facility investment program. But I recommend approval.
Thank you. I think this is good business practice as we move towards the sunset, possibly, of the ballot measure. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, before I make a motion, just to comment that, you know, watching what we're doing over in the education sub and being very aware of what's going on in the human services sub, there is, I think, a certain amount of frustration at allocating this money into these areas. And I do want everyone to be very cognizant that if we don't get a reauthorization of ballot measure 66, this agency is going to very much go into shock.
Representative Morgan, on the other hand, maybe, Mr. Carey, you'd like to speak to this. In my conversations, they are planning for the day.
And I think that moves like this are very important to prepare for that transition if it needs to happen.
Would you like to make a comment?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, yes, thank you for that opportunity. I actually enjoyed talking about this during my testimony at in the hearings you held because, as I noted, in the current biennium, I think we depend on Measure 66 money for about 38% of our total biennial budget. In the budget that we're asking you to approve, that number will drop to about 31%, and that number changes because we're growing our other revenue bases, and our goal has gone from someday restoring that general fund to staying permanently off the general fund and pushing in a strategic way our other sources of revenue so that if that day comes, that Measure 66 is no longer a part of our budget, and the legislature is in the situation that it is today with limited resources, that we have an opportunity to adjust to that without a significant shock. And that's why we're making strategic decisions and doing things like expanding our day use fee program and adjusting our camping rates ahead of the curve so that we can stay out of that deficit spending.
With that, Mr. Chair, I move approval of the LFO recommendation for policy package 070.
You've heard the motion. Is there discussion of the motion? Objection to the motion. Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Package 110 reduces services and supplies by $280,000 and increases special payments by $280,000 for the Oregon Youth Conservation Corps program. And there's no increase in the base budget amount. It's lottery funds, and I recommend approval.
Senator Dukes, did you?
I move approval of the LFO recommendation for policy package 110.
Heard the motion. Is there discussion of the motion? Objection. Motion carries.
Package 007 is the technical adjustment to redirect $883,000. This moves the six positions from facility investment to operations, and I recommend approval.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Morgan.
I move approval of the LFO recommendation for policy package 007. This is the second one that's had that number?
Yes, the companion to the other one in operations.
I will amend my motion to recommend approval of the LFO recommendation for the continuance of policy package 007.
Heard the motion. Discussion? Objection? Motion carries. All right. We might not have to meet tomorrow.
Okay. I'm going to skip over item number 4 and move on to item number 5 and do the amending the bill last so we can talk about performance measures and other funds ending balance first. Number 5 is on page 8, subcommittee recommendation on performance measures. There were no issues or changes requested by the subcommittee during the public hearings, and the performance measures can be found on pages S11 and S12 of the budget document. I recommend approval of the performance measures as presented. And we had some discussion about complaints and making sure that there was some inclusion in the agency's 0507 budget document to share the number of complaints and how, and the resolution of those complaints as part of their budget, but not necessarily as a formal performance measure.
Mr. Chair?
Morgan.
So how do we have it entered into the record that we want to have that information included in the budget presentation? Can you explain?
You could include that in your motion as to direct the agency to develop a measurement. I don't want to call it a performance measurement, a workload measure.
Develop a
related
report.
A report on complaints? Table format, however you want to do it. And then it will be reflected in the budget report.
In the discussion that I participated with the staff and Mr. Carrier was that a lot of their complaints are at the local, at the park level, that they're between park participants and really would not rise to the level that they need to come. So, but what they are going to report is the complaints that do rise to the director's level. And we're talking about a neighbor too noisy or a dog barking or those kind of things. The discussion we had was whether that we should put the department in that kind of a burden to develop that kind of paperwork. My thoughts were not.
Okay.
And we're going to get the basic information that is important to us.
Okay.
Such as is the on the registration, or that's not what I'm
reservations,
right? Whether that's working and complaints on that, that kind of information, which is important to us.
Mr. Chair, with that, I would make a motion that we approve the performance measures reported for the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department.
Heard the motion. Is there more discussion? Is there objection? Motion carries.
Okay, item number 6 is a review of the other funds ending balance. And The review is meant to determine the minimum need needed for the department. The goal is to limit operational reserves to the most appropriate level somewhere, which typically ends up somewhere between 3 and 6 months based on cash flow. As a result of the governor's budget allowed for an ending balance equivalent to 1.36 months of operating expenditures, which is adequate for the department based on their cash flow needs. LFO recommended budget allows for an ending balance equivalent to 2.71 months of operating expenditures. There is a table, the last two pages, of what the ending balances are and what those funds are dedicated to attached. And on the last page of there's a table also at the end of your spreadsheets that shows the calculation to the 2.71 ending balance. The amount that we are reducing from their budget in total is $2.5 million as a result of the changes that we've made in adopting the LFO recommendations. I'm recommending that the money remain with the agency based on the agency's cash flow and the fund restrictions. That the balance be retained by the agency. You have the option of increasing limitation in some of the major program areas, such as local grant programs. You could add more money to the Washington County State Park Development Project or the acquisition program. And I had an email discussion with Mike Carrier regarding what the Parks Department preference was, and he indicated that if you wanted to increase the limitation in but put that money back into the department's expenditures, that his preference would be the state park development, which would further the development of that state park along or acquisitions. That would split it between the two.
And how much money are we talking about?
$2.5 million. Other funds.
Let me ask Susie, which we've asked in some of our other committees as we're working through this. This ending balance, is that necessarily the lowest cash flow month you have throughout the year, or is that the end of June? I'm guessing, especially in your department, that it fluctuates an awful lot.
Yes, Mr. Chair, at your desk are some tables that Grassley provided you for each of these funds that show you quarter by quarter how the cash flow and how the expenditures move through each of these funds that we're talking about here. And in a very simple way, it gives you an idea of what the relationship is between cash flow and expenditure and when the spikes and valleys are in each of those funds. Actually, the end of the fiscal year, which is June 30th, is a high revenue period for us for camping reservations and camping income. The other funds tend to be more consistent through the biennium in terms of the revenue stream. The real variable one is our camping revenue. And again, the summer, of course, is the period where it spikes.
That's exactly what I was referring to, because it looks like March is your lowest point.
And Mr. Chair and members of the committee, the legislature directed the department 2 biennia ago to maintain an ending balance of $1.5 million to cover end of the biennium cash flow needs, and that money is built into the budget already.
Okay. Actually, I'd like to, I know you have an awful lot of land that is not developed at this point. My preference would be that if we have excess funds, that we really focus on development of the property we have before expanding more into more properties.
Mr. Chair, if I may respond, that's why I made the recommendation that if either in this hearing or us coming back to the emergency board at some point to seek additional limitation, my first priority would probably be to accelerate the completion of that Washington County State Park, because that does represent a future obligation that we have to the tune of something over $7 million in total development costs, which we're suggesting that we launch $2 million in phase one in this biennium. And it certainly would, in my opinion, be wise to, if the funds are available, get that project completed earlier rather than later.
Any other discussion before I ask for a motion?
Ask a question.
Representative Morgan.
Mr. Currie, could you talk to us about why it would be more prudent to finish development on the Washington County Park than it would be to get ahead on some of the maintenance issues, or, for example, that you're facing?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, thank you for that question. It's an excellent question. It goes to one of the other reasons that I have requested that we keep the limitation for the facility investment program at $15 million. It's not only so that we don't get overly dependent, it's so that we can pace the amount of work based on the number of engineers and the construction period available and the number of contracting staff we have, and so that we can pace the work, pace the dollars in the work so that we don't have more dollars than we can actually wisely spend in any one biennium. And right now, that number's about $15 million based upon the number of designers, engineers, construction managers, and contract staff that we have in place. And that's why we'd like to keep that number at $15 million a biennium over the next several years. If we increase that in any given year, I'm probably going to be asking to add staff and create some risk in terms of adding new priorities or making hasty decisions about facility investment when I'd prefer to space that out over the next 10 years as we retire that backlog. So that's one of the other reasons that we're wanting to keep that number at 15, and why I'm not suggesting that we add to this additional money to the facility investment program, because, as I've said before, what Measure 66 provided us was an opportunity not just to retire that backlog of park facility needs, but to also make enhancements to our park system to meet present and growing future demand, especially in places like Washington County, where there is no state park and where the population is growing rapidly and where that demand exists, and especially for our coastal areas. And we've got a clear legislative direction from 99 that we shall acquire and develop the Washington County Park site. And lined up behind that is Crissy Field in Curry County, possibly a park in Columbia County. We have legislative direction on that. And then we've got this incredible growing demand for coastal camping and other overnight accommodations up and down the coast. So what Measure 66 provides is an opportunity to retire that backlog of investment and meet that growing demand over time in a strategic way. And I'm really actually quite disappointed that the Washington County is at this pace is going to take us three biennia to complete. I'd rather get it done in one and move on to the next one, like Crissy Field. Or the next future part.
Follow up. I clearly understand the points that you raised on the maintenance, just being able to handle the increased volume of planning and engineering and things. Why doesn't the same argument apply to the Washington County Park?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, thank you for asking that question. It's because if we we have the master plan complete for Washington County State Park. That is behind us, and we have most of the design work done for new facility investment like that done by contract. So we would use contract services to do that rather than have our existing staff do that design work.
So you have do you have the capacity then to actually accomplish carrying out the plan with the increased volume of dollars?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, by the end of summer, we should hold title to the entire 1,400 acres of land that puts the park together. Our commission just approved a key acquisition that will allow us to construct the entrance to the park facility, and we'll be ready to let a bid for that within the next couple of months. So we're very, very close. ODF, which is a partner in the trade, along with Longview Fiber, has completed its public hearings on the land transfer and is moving toward getting approval of the Board of Forestry. As soon as that's done, we'll start exchanging titles.
So once the land acquisitions, I'm sorry, may I follow? Once the land acquisitions have been completed, then you would just go ahead with the improvement construction phase. And the what I'm assuming here and looking for confirmation on is that the department has the capacity to accelerate the time frame on the improvements.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, the answer is yes. We selected the $1 million that's in the package you approved a few minutes ago for Phase 1 along with the expected federal land and water money, simply as the amount left over to fit within the resources that we expected to be available in the next biennium, not based upon what we thought we could handle in work. We think we can handle much more new development there than what we requested this time. So that's why that would be my first priority for any additional funds would be just to add to that.
Mr. Chair, I would move that the $2.5 million excess in the ending balance be transferred to the State Park Development Fund for the purpose of finishing the development on the Washington County Park.
Thank you. You've heard the motion. Is there discussion of the motion? Objection. Motion carried.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Now I will move back to page 7, item number 4. After that last motion. This is to approve the appropriation bill, which is Senate Bill 5536, in the amount of, if you will give me a moment, I'll add your $2.5 million to this number here. $138,868,204 and 524.44 FTE by making the following amendments. In Section 1, Line 10, we'll be deleting $15,086,006 and inserting $13,045,165. In line 11, deleting $8,264,115 and inserting $8,199,177. In line 12, deleting $50,956,093 and inserting $53,033,842. In line 13, there is no change of $3,615,358. In line 15, we'll be deleting $206,880 and inserting $288,083. In section 2 for lottery funds, line 20, we'll be deleting $9,211,622 and inserting $10,053,343. Line 21 is no change at $4 million. Line 22 is deleting $5,280,000 and inserting $4,906,477. In line 23, deleting $12,764,328 and inserting $12,405,373. Line 24, deleting $18,165,128 and inserting $18,147,896. In line 26, deleting $2,116,155 and inserting $2,138,666. In Section 3, for federal funds, on page 2 of the bill, line 4, deleting $21,777,000 and inserting $20,920. Line 5, deleting $3,906,917 and inserting $3,865,594. On line 6, deleting $1,642,768 and inserting $1,592,673.
On line 7, no change at $1,465,000. And on line 9, deleting $2,092,424 and inserting $2,090,646.
Mr. Chair. Penny Morgan.
Just to clarify, can you give me again the, in the motion, approve the budget bill and what the revised amounts and the FTE amounts are there?
I'm just going to add it up one more time just to make sure.
Okay.
$138,868. $868,204.
Okay, and the positions?
Or $3, excuse me.
$203?
Yes.
Okay, and what is the FTE?
FTE is the same, 524.44.
Mr. Chair?
Are
you ready for a motion?
Yes, I am.
I move approval of the budget bill in the amount of $138,868,203 and 524.44 FTE by making the conceptual amendments as recommended by LFO in Section 1 and the amendments as written in Section 2 and Section 3 in the LFO amendments.
The
LFO recommendation.
You've all heard the motion. Is there any discussion of the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Motion carries. And now we need a motion to send to
Mr. Chair. I recommend that we move Senate Bill 5536 as amended and conceptually amended to the full Ways and Means Committee House recommendation.
I've heard the motion. Any discussion? Objection. Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's one last item that the co-chair has asked the committee to discuss, and that is a budget note related to increase. Should there be an increase of recreational vehicle registration fees in the transportation package that is being developed or negotiated right at this point? A portion of those revenues from the recreational vehicle registration fees would be going to the Parks and Recreation Department as unanticipated revenue. And as a part of those negotiations, they would like that money to support the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial Observance. And this budget note, the co-chairs haven't approved it, but they wanted the committee to have a discussion about it. Should that bill pass, they would likely put it in the end of session bill or some other vehicle to accommodate this.
Question?
Representative Morgan.
If we were to designate our approval of this budget note, would the money that went to the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial Observance from this revenue source be subject to the budget note that we have asked to have inserted in the parks budget?
The revenue from this for this budget note be subject to the other budget note? No, they're two separate things.
Oh.
Just want to make sure I didn't get it all.
Oh. Well, she would.
So how do we accomplish this?
Well, what this budget note does is it directs the agency to come back to the emergency board with an expenditure plan if that passes, and how they would expend those monies for Lewis and Clark Bicentennial Observance programs.
Isn't it true, Susie, that the co-chairs are not asking us to approve this now?
That's correct.
They're simply asking us to discuss it.
What the co-chairs are interested in is understanding how this money would be used, whether they're, you know, what are the ideas or thoughts out there? Does Lewis and Clark Bicentennial Organization really need that much money? Is there, you know, are there... That is the kind of discussion that they were hoping that the committee would get into.
Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Perhaps for the committee's edification, I could give you one example. The kind of tourists that are coming for the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial are referred to in the business as heritage tourists. They tend to be older, wealthier, stay longer, and have the desire to have some kind of an experiential relationship with whatever event it is that they're traveling to see. I can imagine that with the heavy emphasis that's being put on reconnecting Lufthansa service to Europe, that we would anticipate having a number of European visitors, many of whom camp outdoors, expect very high-end outdoor activities with respect to amenities offered in camping facilities, brochures marketing our camping opportunities. I could see commensurate with that kind of a program, and so I'm hopeful that as Mr. Carrier and his staff begin to develop how this money would be expended, recognizing that we're going to have these kind of very desirable tourists coming, particularly Europeans with an expectation of a very first-class outdoor experience, that we might be able to expend some of the money in those kinds of amenities.
I'm saying, Kruger, you've got a devious look on your face. I'm not sure I want to know what you're thinking.
Mr. Chair, I'll do anything I can to help Representative Johnson with her efforts.
What a great American.
Representative Morgan? Yes.
What exactly falls into the recreational vehicle class?
This would be, Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, this includes travel trailers, campers, motorhomes. The registration fee from house trailers had also previously been included but will be removed from this source of funds. So it will be travel trailers, motorhomes, and campers.
And this is...
Anything that is registered as a vehicle on the highway.
And this is an increase that would be paid by the Oregon residents that are registering their vehicles.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, yes.
Mr. Chair, this is a comment. The negative issue for me with this is that I'm not sure that I can see a correlation between an increased registration fee for RV owners and the funding of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial Observance. I'd just be interested in hearing a little discussion on that.
Representative Johnson.
I'd like to follow that line of questioning to the degree that I haven't been close to the negotiations on the transportation package, but I know that there is a very high expectation that if a package comes together, that it will address some of the pressing needs of our bridges and other highway infrastructure. As keen as I am on providing a world-class experience for heritage visitors here in Oregon, I also am very cognizant of the pressing commercial needs that drive the economic vitality of the state. And I would like some additional discussion of how you separate this kind of a registration fee with this end use of the money versus the end use of the money that allows our trucking industry to move goods and services around the state.
Mr. Chair, may I respond to that? Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, Representative Johnson, I can't explain how all these things end up in the Constitution, but I am as surprised and amazed as you that there is language in the Constitution which dedicates the registration fees from these particular vehicles, motorhomes, travel trailers, campers, to the acquisition and development of parks and campgrounds. It's in the Constitution. So to a certain extent, this increased revenue, if it occurs, is limited to those purposes. And what we would have to do in presenting this plan to the emergency board to fulfill the desire of the co-chairs, and I believe what is the governor's desire for this short-term additional revenue, to promote the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial and the opportunity that it has to capture new tourism dollars in the state, would be to recommend some fund shifts where we would take this additional revenue and push it into parts of our budget, such as the operation and development of parks and campgrounds, and pull out other fund dollars and Measure 66 dollars that could legitimately be used for some of these purposes. And in the strategy that I can envision for accomplishing what the co-chairs and I think the governor would like to see happen over the next couple of years during the period we're observing the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial would include some funds directed toward a marketing and promotion program in cooperation with the Division of Tourism, both in-state, Western region, and the European market with a Lewis and Clark Bicentennial theme, some increased program activities, but a principal amount of it probably being dedicated to making facility investments to accommodate that increased visitorship that we would expect, and to ensure that Oregonians who camp have adequate facilities available when we experience that increased use. So a significant amount of this money would, in fact, probably be invested in ensuring that there's adequate campsites and amenities and other services available.
Is this a follow-up? Because Senator Dukes has been very patient.
Well, making my point well, I would be happier with this if it were going into just that last piece that you talked about, especially since there's been a request for an individual who's working with RAS to try to accommodate more motorhomes and travel trailers that are going to come into the state for this celebration, and he can't make it on the list of priorities. And nobody seems to want to help him. So I think we're going to be deluged with folks. And while there's a huge need for Lewis and Clark projects, I'm getting real nervous about where we're going to stack all these people up, because that's exactly what we're going to try to do. And, you know, the bridges don't make good campgrounds. But these people are coming, and some of them are going to have reservations. And we'd like to have as many places as possible. But at this point, it doesn't appear to me that the current structure is allowing for money to flow into that area. And so I always get nervous about sort of saying to the folks who gave us the constitutional provisions, for whatever reason they gave them to us, that we're going to meet the letter of the law, but we're going to pull the money out the back door and spend it on something else. So this makes me nervous.
Sorry.
For the benefit of the discussion, so none of my colleagues feel awkward about this, as pleased as I am to see the increased state attention to Lewis and Clark, I recognize that there are some issues that profit from this discussion. And Senator Duke's issues, I think, are well-founded. Making that nexus, I think, is an issue. Educating folks as they're watching a transportation package come together and not having a budget note like this make a coalescence around a transportation package more difficult are all concerns that I think I share with some of my colleagues. So I just want to make sure that you all feel comfortable discussing this in any depth of detail. I'm pleased for the attention to Lewis and Clark, but there are pressing priorities, and I want to make sure we have a comprehensive discussion about it.
Mr. Carrier, we had a discussion related to the excess money in your ending balance about the inadvisability of putting it into facilities, upgrades, areas, because of your the difficulty of using that increased capacity in relation to your scheduling in terms of engineering and all that. Doesn't that same point apply to adding more money into this area?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, yes, it does, and I would prefer, because of the uncertainty of whether this particular revenue source is going to materialize, wanted to keep those discussions separate. Now, with regard to if we pushed a major portion of these new revenues into facility upgrades to accommodate the Lewis and Clark traffic that may occur or visitation that may occur, yes, we would have to also develop a strategy for how we would accelerate improvements and enhancements to accommodate the time frame that we're talking about here.
Well, my understanding is that the bulk of the people that are coming to Oregon for the Lewis and Clark festivities will be coming in 05, that's the year that Oregon is targeted.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, yes, 05 would be the prime year. And most of that traffic would occur along the route that Lewis and Clark followed, which would be the I-84 and then Portland to the mouth of the Columbia or Astoria corridor. And certainly the Washington County, one of the reasons that I'm anxious to accelerate the development of Washington County State Park is that there's maybe a major campground there, and it will probably be very heavily used if we have it up and ready by 05 for those new visitors. We also have improvements targeted for Fort Stevens. We just completed a master plan and have some renewal and renovation there that's planned that we could accelerate and get done sooner if these funds were available. We've got improvements to Ecola State Park. We've got some improvements to complete at Vista House, which will be a popular tourist destination during that period.
So, Mr. Chair, I might have one more follow-up. So am I then correct in understanding that you would have the ability to accelerate the plans that you already have on the books, which I'm assuming you already have timed in to be completed in time for the bulk of the people, but there would be difficulties around scheduling other improvements that aren't already in the pattern?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, if that resulted in a crowding out of other projects simply because of a lack of capacity of staff, then I would look at alternatives either with contracting more of the design and project supervision or even asking for limited duration positions to fill that gap for that short period of time. But I would prefer, you know, I did not want to bring that into today's discussion because this is only something that is a possibility, and these funds, when this increase occurs, you have to wait for the registrations and the increased amount, and there's going to be quite a lag here between realizing that revenue and the need to expend it.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Carrier, just so I can understand exactly the scope of what could be anticipated inside a budget note of this nature, would this include the fancy signs, the variable message signs, for example, that might be deployed on Highway 30 or Highway 26, were there an accident or heavy congestion? I'm thinking back in the days when the mighty Missouri pulled into Astoria and that part of Oregon came to an absolute gridlock, and how much better it would have been to have variable message signing to turn people away before they got stranded. Am I trying to read too much into the facilities definition by looking for those kinds of tools?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, I think to a certain extent, yes, you are, because you have to remember that as we move these funds through, first the use of any of the RV registration funds is limited by the constitutional language, which is directly related to park acquisition, park and campground acquisition and development. Any other funds that we would substitute with those that we could push out and make available for other Lewis and Clark related things would still be subject to what our department does. And highway signage, unless it's advertising a state park or talking about crowding conditions in a particular state park, would probably not be one of those uses of our funds. But if it was related directly to an activity that we had generated or to one of our facilities, yes, it is a possibility.
Thank you.
Senator Dukes.
So, Mike, if we leave this, if we don't do the budget now, and there is an increase in RV fees, and the money comes to you, you are committed to using it to help, or at least some of it, to help relieve the overburden that you are already anticipating and to use it on projects like Ecola and Fort Stevens and such that
they're going to be hard hit? Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, absolutely. If there is this additional revenue that results from this, with or without clear legislative direction, we know what the priorities are going to be. The pressure up and down the coast continues to build every year, but the pressure during 05 on that Lewis, what I call that Lewis and Clark travel corridor, is going to be tremendous, and I know that we're going to be working to respond to that, and that's where the priority use of any funds we have will be.
Mike, maybe, I don't know if you know the answer to this or not. I've received some mail from some of my constituents very concerned that the increase is the way the constituent understood it, the increase in RV fees was going to be across the board, so that a $500,000 plus motorhome would have the same fee as an old trailer house. Is that your understanding too? And I was told by Senator Bruce Starr that that they might need to amend that bill to correct that.
Mr. Chair, I wish I could advise you on that. We provided recommendations to the Department of Transportation when we heard that this could be a part of the vehicle registration increase bill to keep the fee, the base fee on these vehicles, the base registration fee increase, very modest and, pardon the expression, but loaded up on the per foot amount so that the larger, longer, more expensive vehicles are the ones that experience the greatest increase. But I have not been privy to any of the discussions or nor do I have any information about how they're structuring this proposed increase. And I'm sorry that I don't, but I just simply don't. So until we see the bill, which I understand is expected out Monday, we have no idea of how they're structuring that.
Senator Johnson.
Mike, again, I'm asking, thank you, Mr. Chair, I'm asking for your opinion on this. If the language of the budget note were tightened to try to make the nexus between the increase in fees and amenities available to those recreational vehicle users, to strengthen that connection, absent any other discussion of Lewis and Clark, do you think that it would be a more palatable to those folks that are paying the charges? I'm trying to make a connection between the guy that has to write a bigger check for his RV and is maybe not very happy about it and wants to see that translate into an amenity on the ground that is usable by his RV and others of that class of RV and leave out any extraneous dedication to it, but simply tighten that nexus.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, let me say two things. One is that even if the fee were increased 50%, as what is I've heard is proposed for auto vehicles, as compared to what the other states charge for registering their recreational vehicles, Oregon would still be in line and comparable to those other states, but it would still be a significant increase for Oregonians who register these vehicles. To answer your question, and you asked for an opinion, and I'll give you an opinion, absolutely, yes, those folks would want to be reassured that their dollars are being used as the Constitution prescribes. So I think that any language that assures that they will be used for those purposes and for enhancements for those purposes would provide some comfort.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
With the committee's indulgence, I might be inclined to recommend that perhaps if we're comfortable with the concept of using this to enhance RV amenities, that we do something to strengthen the language to make that connection more obvious. I would hate to have people think that they were paying increased vehicle registration and believing that they were paying for Sacagawea reenactment somewhere and not make the subtle distinction that you have helped me at least understand that this is dedicated fund money that may not be obvious to the casual observer, and I want to make sure we strengthen it as much as possible.
Senator Morgan.
Mr. Carrier, I heard you refer to this as a short-term increase. What are we talking about here?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, I knew you would catch me on that characterization because what I meant by short-term is it is not revenue in the coming biennium that we expected or build our budget around. It is a permanent revenue stream increase, but it's one, frankly, that over the long term we will need just to sustain operations and to keep us independent of the general fund. As we project out over the next 10 years or over the next five biennia, our revenues and expenditures with the normal rate of growth we've experienced, we were looking at this fund needing to increase in about 05 or 07 anyhow. So this increased earlier than what we had expected to propose it. And so short term, I meant it's there's money there earlier than I anticipated.
Short term. Okay. Mr. Chair, I have real mixed emotions about this. I can clearly see that it is an economic development issue to get more places out there for recreational vehicle users to recreate in and be able to park their vehicles and have good recreational opportunities. And I can see the need in the short term to do what the state can to make the visitors that come here for the Lewis and Clark celebration to accommodate them. I have real questions about the department's ability within the time frame that you have to actually do any kind of capital improvements that are outside of what you've already got scoped to do. And I don't know that because, I mean, if we're talking about capital improvements here, it generally takes quite a number of years to get acquisitions and all the other development issues in place before you can even start doing it. So I'm not sure how realistic it is to assume that throwing more money at this issue right now, other than, you know, signs and little bells and whistles, that there really is going to be any long-term economic development impact from this. I also, of course, have an issue with a lot of the people that own these RVs, and I recognize that you are saying that the more expensive models will bear a higher percentage of the cost, but a lot of these people are retirees and are on fixed incomes, and upping their registration fees to do some kind of inconsequential things at Lewis and Clark, I don't think is sound public policy right now. I think that looking at this in terms of long-term development of developed recreational opportunities for these folks is a different thing, but the short-term gains, I don't see the wisdom of it.
Well, we don't have to make a decision today, and they will come back and make their case. All the parties involved at the time when this passes, I would assume. Any further questions? Unfinished business. Need Carrier for their bill today. Representative Johnson, if you want to carry it, or I can carry it.
Looking for it. I don't care.
Well, I think the last one you took, so I'll put this on.
Okay. What's the
Could we have a brief sidebar?
Mr. Chair,
we need a brief sidebar.
Okay.
Is that Representative Johnson for the full committee and House side?
I think they're deciding that right now.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, full answer.
I assume our recreational vehicles that we stay in when we're here are going to be taxed higher, so okay. We qualify as low-income people.
I don't think it makes a difference, Representative Krieger.
Actually, Mr. Chair, we think that Representative Krieger would be a better carrier for this bill than Representative Johnson.
Representative Krieger would like just volunteer to carry this bill on the full and on the House. Thank you.
Whatever.
He's going to get to carry every bill.
Okay. Is that all there?
Senator Jones, that's right.
Okay. Mr. Chair, thank you. I will say that your attention and support has been noteworthy.
It hasn't passed yet. But that will see that I close.
He didn't say good, Mr. Chair, just said noteworthy.
I think the quality of the puns has really gone downhill.
I close the work session, and tomorrow, committee, we have one bill to get through. And so, let's come at 1:30, and everyone try to be on time so we can bang it right out.
Does that include the chair?
Yes. And that will close the committee meeting.